This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
كن سعيدا كن فريدا عش بفخر في الحياة لا تبالي فالمعاد.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to the first ever episode of this brand new series, which literally I invented an hour ago, okay? This is a series we're entitling Hangout, where I get the chance to hang out with people who I respect, people who I learn from, people who I think are great community leaders and important figures that should have some sort of outlet to discuss just regular issues, just hanging out like regular casual people. So for today's very first episode, we have with us a guest who I'm sure most of you know. If you don't know, he's someone right now who's doing an amazing job all around the globe, jazakallah khair, of spreading the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he's a teacher with Al Maghrib Institute as well as doing many other things outside of that. Sheikh Sa'ad Taslim, who graduated from the University, Islamic University of Medina, is with us here today in our studio, kind of a studio, I guess. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
How's everything?
Everything's good, alhamdulillah.
We've been abusing you today.
Yes, it's been a long day.
Yeah, this is like your 14th hour of recording, so yes, alhamdulillah, yes. I think we're getting good usage out of you. So Sheikh, jazakallah khair for joining us. Actually, you helped come up with this idea.
Yeah.
This nice little talk show format, which I think is going to be cool. It'll kick off, it'll get very popular, inshallah, yeah. And we get to give you some of the credit for that, inshallah.
Inshallah.
First question, we were actually discussing a little bit earlier the fact that you had been active now in the, you know, quote unquote Western Dawah scene for about 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
3 years. So you graduated from Medina 3 years ago or 4 years ago?
No, about 2.5, 3 years ago.
Okay, two and a half, 3 years ago.
Yeah.
So now that you're out of school, mm-hmm. okay, and you're actually in the world that you were sent to kind of, you know, participate in.
Yeah.
Do you find it to be much different? Is it what you expected it to be?
Well, one of the things that I did when I was in Medina is that I would come home every summer. And the purpose of that was really so that I don't lose touch with things back home. So for me, there are some things that I was not expecting. But I think for the most part, I kind of just fit right in. I was pretty comfortable just getting my feet wet. So it wasn't that big of an issue, like just settling down. And just, so there were a couple things that were a little bit unexpected, but it's just because I was taking on a new task that I really hadn't done full-time before. That's right. Full-time da'wah.
Right. Yeah. So tell me the number one thing that just shocked you, like you were like, what the heck is this? I wasn't expecting that.
Well, I'll tell you this. One of the biggest challenges that I didn't realize is going to be such a big challenge is the traveling part.
Mm.
You know, from the outside, it seems so awesome. You get to travel.
People think it's great traveling.
You think you see the world.
Yeah.
It's so romanticized from the outside.
Yeah.
But I can tell you that's probably one of my biggest challenges is traveling. And it's not just, it's the physical challenge of traveling. It's being away from your family, being away from my parents. Just what it does to your body.
Yeah.
Just I used to be really big into like physical fitness and stuff like that. It's just once
you
start traveling,
like,
yeah, exactly. But once you start traveling, it's a whole nother ball game.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, it's funny you mention that because I know a lot of people always tell me like, "Oh, brother, you get to see this country and that country," but literally, I don't see anything.
Yeah, me neither.
All you see is an airport. You see
exactly.
A hotel. You see
exactly.
Like a couple of things, landmarks, and that's it.
Definitely. For me, when I go to a place, I'm in and out. Because if I have extra time, I'd honestly rather spend it at home with my family.
Mm.
So they're like, "Chef, you want to go see this?" And I'm like, "No, no, I just want to teach, and I want to go." So I've been to places around the world that have like big landmarks that I just haven't seen.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I went there, but yeah, I didn't really see much besides my hotel.
I lived in Egypt for a couple months, and I never went to the pyramids.
Yeah.
Is that wrong?
Well, I don't know. It's fine.
Yeah, okay. We'll let it slide. But now, like in the bigger context of things, like you're like a celebrity. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
I'm too kind, so we're tied, I guess.
Okay.
But what do you think about this title? I mean, people say this kind of thing, you know, like jokingly enough, you have these celebrity shuyukh, you have these celebrity da'is, people who are out there, you know, mashallah, this brother is very popular, this many YouTube hits, this many Facebook likes, mashallah, he can start his own method if he wants, right? So tell me, what does that do, that title, celebrity shaykh, what does that do to you?
Honestly, for me, I don't feel any different. It's just, I'm actually very, like when people come to me and they're like, they recognize me, they like me, I'm always surprised. I'm like, really? Me? Like out of everyone else?
Mm.
There's all these awesome people in the world, like you really like me?
Yeah.
In terms of celebrity culture, I think it has its positives and its negatives. I would say it's a celebrity imam culture. On the positive side, I think it's great that young people are looking up to imams and sheikhs. rather than like rappers or actors and things like that. So from that sense, I think it's awesome. I think it's great that they have these positive role models that they look up to and they aspire to be like them. On the negative side, the issue of intentions, I think that's where people really need to like refocus, readjust. We know in one of the famous hadith, the Prophet ﷺ, that one of the things that leads to the hellfire, or a reason why a person seeks knowledge, we know that seeking knowledge leads you to Jannah. The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever seeks or takes a path in search of knowledge, Allah makes their path to paradise easy. Mm-hmm. However, another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ described three people who seek knowledge, but they'll end up in the hellfire. Mm-hmm. And one of them is a person who seeks knowledge, literally, the Prophet ﷺ said, to turn the faces of people towards himself. And that's for the attention. So that's where I think we kind of need to be really careful. And I'm always, when a young person comes up to me and they're like, I want to be just like you. I always ask why. Why do you want to be just like me? Is it because I'm learning Islam, I'm teaching Islam and benefiting people? Or I don't like it when they say, you're on stage, you get to meet people, you're famous. I'm like, okay, this is not cool. We need to have a proper discussion because that is the wrong intention to be seeking knowledge. That is the wrong intention to learn and teach Islam.
Right.
So in that aspect, I think it's a responsibility that we have as du'at, as scholars, not call myself a scholar, other scholars, as speakers, as public speakers, that we are constantly re-emphasizing that with especially the younger crowd that, listen, it's great that you look up to us, but that's not why you should seek knowledge. Mm. Not for the attention.
You know, there's one thing that kind of scares me is when I see a lot of people, like people that I would consider you a person of knowledge, but there's a lot of people who don't have a formal Islamic background in terms of knowledge,
yeah.
but yet they're literally out there giving fatwas,
yeah.
you know, on
yeah.
Facebook, on YouTube specifically. People who I wouldn't even ask them what time of the day it is, you know what I'm saying? Like, I wouldn't think that they're capable of answering any really sophisticated Islamic yeah. thought whatsoever.
Right.
But yet, they're out there giving advice.
Yeah.
And I know, like, Deen al-Nasiha, how people can give
yeah.
advice and stuff like that. That's cool. But, like, where do we draw the line? And where do people actually figure, like, look, this is not a person of knowledge. I should,
yeah.
should be talking to them.
Look, I think that's one of the other problems, is that for the layman, it's hard to tell. Because if you judge a person's knowledge or whatever, or their credibility based off of how popular they are, you're in a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
Because being popular doesn't necessarily mean that you're knowledgeable. Not to say that somebody who is knowledgeable cannot be popular, and that happens, and alhamdulillah, that's happening. But the average person may not be able to tell the difference between just someone who gives nasiha and all that kind of stuff and an actual real deal scholar.
Mm.
So I usually say there's three characteristics that a person needs to have before you actually take serious knowledge from them. Like if you want a fatwa or serious advice,
yeah.
number one, should be someone who's trustworthy. You trust their deen, you trust them as a person. Number two is that, and this is the issue of qualified or being qualified. They have some type of education when it comes to Islam, a degree, something. They spent a certain number of years studying with certain scholars and this and that. Something you can really hold on to and you can say, you know what, I trust this person. I trust taking my deen from this person.
Mm.
And lastly, someone who you have access to, obviously.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You know, I think it's crazy. People ask me stuff all the time.
Yeah.
Look, guys, if you're asking me for questions, that's how I know you're misguided, okay? I'm not a sheikh, I'm not a scholar, I'm nothing. Don't ask me. There's a lot of people out there, I wonder, like, you know, it's sad enough, okay, people might ask me a question and I'll, like, I have maybe a little bit of shame that I'll tell you, look, I don't know the answer. Even
yeah.
if it makes me look dumb, I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell you something wrong. But some people, I just tell them, I see them like, oh yeah, no problem, I heard this person say this. Or
yeah.
even funnier is when people say like, oh, this is the opinion of Sa'd Taslim.
Yeah. I can't tell you.
You become a Dalil.
I can't tell you how many times I get misquoted. And that's one of my biggest pet peeves, is being misquoted.
Mm-hmm.
Someone hearing something I said and then said, he said this, and then it's just, I mean, even with that, we need to be, let alone the issue of just giving answers, but quoting someone, that is a responsibility.
Yeah.
And you can, subhanAllah, misguide people. You can, I've been in situations where people say, you said this, and I was like, I never said that.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, I'm very careful about, and I tell my students in class, I say, listen, be very careful when you quote me. Because I say things, and even context is very important. I remember, subhanAllah, the first time I taught the Shaytan class, the deception study of Shaytan, I said something. It was just a funny thing I said. It was in context of some joke. I said, Shaytan loves carbs. Right? It was a joke.
Carbs.
Carbs, yeah.
Okay, like a carbohydrate.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and it was funny in the context we were talking about, you know, it wasn't a serious thing. Somebody tweeted that, @Sa'd Taslim, #deception, whatever.
Yeah.
And the people are like, what are you trying to say? Are carbs haram? Are carbs the food of shaitan? And it's a huge issue online.
Oh, snap.
And I'm like, just, they didn't misquote me, but they quoted me out of context.
Oh, man. You know, yeah, it's weird. So is it a good thing or a bad thing, being a celebrity, quote unquote?
Is it a good thing or a bad thing in general? I say it's fine. It's okay. It comes with the territory. For me, like I said, I'm always surprised when people think of me as a celebrity or whatever. I don't think of me as a celebrity. If I ever need to humble myself, I just go talk to my wife. And she puts me in. She puts me on,
she'll let you
she
know who exactly you are. Yeah, that. Wives are good for that. Alhamdulillah. Yes, let us know who we are exactly. Yeah. Okay, here's a scenario for you. This happens to me all the time. I think it's happened to us maybe together. A group of sisters walk by. Okay, conference, whatever.
Yeah.
Oh my God, is that the same? Oh my God.
Yeah.
They want to take a picture.
Yeah.
What do you do?
Okay, so in general, I don't take pictures, and I know I'm going to be quoted on this.
Oh, get the pens ready.
In general, I don't take pictures with sisters.
Astaghfirullah. Okay?
There are a few exceptions to that.
Okay.
Number one, if it's like an auntie or someone older,
okay,
then I'll take a picture. Obviously, I'm not going to be like hugging your stuff, right? It's like stand, I'll take a picture.
Okay.
Or if there's been a case where there's a husband and wife, mm-hmm, and they're like, you know, my children look up to you, we want a picture with you. And I was like, okay, so your husband stands next to me, and then your wife stands on the other side, and
I'm okay with
that. Yeah, it's family. But when it's like young girls that are like, oh my God, we want a picture with you, I'm like, no. Yeah. I don't want to open that door. I'm not comfortable with that.
Do you ever get heat for that?
From what?
From the sisters, like they'll see you and be like, oh, we want to take a picture, and then you turn them down, and they're like, oh, great, I hate him now.
No, I mean, look, I don't need them to like me for that reason.
I thought you
had
a chill. Took up chilling. Oh,
yeah, but
up?
On the same time, on the other hand, I want to teach them what's correct as well. So I'm not going to compromise my morals because that goes against. I want them to like me for the morals that I have.
Yeah.
And if they're liking me for other than my morals, other than what I view to be right, then that's not right. Liking me for the right reasons. So it kind of defeats the whole purpose of a young girl.
See, I know a lot of people who would think like, okay, I don't want people to think that I'm a jerk. I don't want people to think like, you know, the message that I have is now, you know, they might get tainted and not listen to you in the future. So people kind of like feel like they have to, you know, make that one concession.
Look, I feel like if you listen to my talks, if you've attended my classes, you know who I am, you know what I'm like, and you know, you won't, if you're just going to judge me based off of one action, the action of like, oh, you didn't stand right next to me and take a picture of me, then that's not fair, obviously. And then you can basically take anything that I do and, you know, say whatever.
Yeah.
So,
any message for the haters?
No message for the haters.
Haters, love. We know you're out there.
Love the haters. I don't love the haters, man. I know you're supposed to love the haters.
I don't love the haters.
I don't know. My policy is ignore the haters.
Okay.
Just never reply. Never. Don't feed the trolls. You know what that means?
Yeah.
Don't give them ammunition. This is why, even on my Facebook page, I have a very strict policy. We are very quick to ban and delete comments.
One strike and you're out, huh?
Yep, definitely. I told my admins, anyone who's being idiotic, anyone who's being rude, not just to me, but to the other people who are commenting, anyone who's using profanity and things like that, immediately ban, delete.
Yeah.
And I have no problem with that.
I was telling you the story earlier that I was in Canadian Tire. It's like a hardware store, and I was wearing a thobe, and a guy came up to me, a very old man came up to me, and he's like, are you transsexual? And I was like, what? And he's like, well, you're wearing a dress. And I was like, oh, okay, so what does if a priest wears a dress or a gown, is he also transsexual? And he was like, no, priests don't shop at Canadian Hardware or a Canadian Tire. And I was like, man, I wasn't having a good day anyways. It really started snowing, and I was like, I'm not that guy. He was like a real-life troll. Usually you don't see them in real life.
Yeah.
And I was just like caught in between, should I hit him? Should I hug him?
Look, for me, I prefer real-life trolls. Because then you can actually have a face-to-face conversation. You can reason with the person. You can say, listen, let's work out this issue. You have a problem with me. You don't like what I said. Let me explain it to you. But online, I don't think is a place to do that. Because it just goes back and forth. And it's like, it just becomes about proving the other person wrong. And just, that's not the place for it. So I tell people, if you have a problem with anything I do, anything I say, an opinion I hold, no problem. Alhamdulillah. Just come up to me personally and ask me. And we'll discuss it.
What about, these people, they hide behind kunyas and stuff like that online.
It's always, subhanAllah.
And it's always Abu, A-B-O-O.
It's Abu so-and-so and so-and-so and all those
ums
people.
I don't really get that much of it. I think the brothers are really adamant.
I get some ums.
You do?
Yeah, brother, please, you know, whatever. Fear Allah. Things like that.
Take it easy, man. That's, you know, that's fun. I mean, I tell you this, like, I remember, mashallah, when I first met you, I think I met you first time in Toronto. At Ilmfest. Yeah, in Toronto.
2011, I think.
2012. Yeah, I don't even know what year it is now. But I remember people were like, man, mashallah, he's going to be the next big thing. It was a lot of hype around it. Mm-hmm. Do you ever feel like there's a lot of pressure on you to perform and to be that person? A lot of people might think, oh, he's young, so he's the youth guy. Yeah. He's the guy that we'll send our kids to when they're messing up.
Look, I try to be honest to who I am as a person. I know people portray me in different lights. It was made out to be that I'm this like super outgoing, like into like extreme sports and all this kind of stuff.
GoPro on your head while you're teaching.
And anyone who knows me knows that I'm actually quite an introvert. Like in my daily life, I'm very quiet. I keep to myself. I ride a motorcycle. But what people don't realize is that that's a very introverted thing to do because you're by yourself.
I never thought about that.
There's no one else there. Just it's you. You got the wind in your hair and your face, and it's just riding you and your thoughts. And that's what I love about riding. It's just that personal, peaceful time. Mm. So in general, I just try to be honest. I try to be open. I try to be who I am in my public, my private life. I try to keep it even. And so, like, people know, for example, that I like comic books. I like comic book characters. Mm. And that is just not, I mean, I understand for a sheikh, it's like really odd that a sheikh would be into like Batman or whatever, things like that. But I'm like, listen, that's who I am. And if I'm not real, I'm not going to be, on either way, I'm not going to try to be more religious than what I am. And I'm not going to try to be more cool than what I am. Because I've always believed that when you try to be cool, that's when you're not cool.
That's a tweet right there. Yeah. When you try and be cool, you are not cool. That's an official status. But you kind of had a crazy past. I mean, you had a little bit of a jahiliya, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm still living in jahiliya, so I guess I'm still out there. But you had, like, you know, I mean, everyone talks about the story. You used to be in a punk rock band. And you used to be, like, a musician. And you used to be, you know. Tell us a little bit about that. I know you probably told the story a gazillion times. I don't want to tell the whole story. But I just want to pinpoint, you know, a moment while you were in that state that really made you reflect and ponder upon the fact that, you know, this is not the life I should be living. Like, was there a specific moment or a gem that you derived from that part of your life?
There was a moment. There's actually, I mean, I've told this story a bunch of times, but I was actually at a concert. SubhanAllah, I was at a music concert, and then basically the lead singer of the band that was playing, he comes out, he goes, you know, we're all going to have fun tonight. You guys know how to have fun. And immediately I thought to myself, and I kind of had, I don't like to say out-of-body experience. Mm. You know, I want to go in that territory. But I kind of felt like I could look down on myself and the crowd of people and stage, and the question I was asking was, is this what life is about? Is this all that life is about? Just trying to have as much fun as possible. Am I going to go from day to day just trying to have more fun? Like, is that it? There has to be more to life than that. And for me, my life really changed when I started asking myself the big and uncomfortable questions. Questions like, what happens after you die? Right? And being real with yourself in terms of, you don't know when you're going to die. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know how you're going to go. And will you be okay with the life that you've lived? Mm. And so a lot of times we just go from day to day, just living life, you know, one day to another. And I often say, ask the young people especially, listen, when you're sitting on your deathbed, if you get that chance, and you look back at your life, are you going to say, like, that was a very fulfilling life? And now I'm comfortable passing on going into the akhirah? Or are you going to be like, I just spent my life chasing something that isn't actually real. Mm. And that is something I couldn't live with. With the band and music and all that stuff. And it was fun. It was great. I'm not going to say it wasn't a fun life. But I just knew, I just could not, I know that I didn't want to die that way. I didn't want to die knowing that's what I spent my life doing.
Yeah. Do people from jahiliyyah ever reach out to you? People see you now and like, hey, I used to know this guy. That happens to me a lot of times. People are like, yeah, I used to be with this. Now he's all religious and stuff like that. People like to be changed.
Yeah, I mean, I got that when I first started practicing. When I first started practicing Islam, and I consider myself accepting Islam, actually. But I got that when people are like, what happened to you all of a sudden? I got that a lot. But now I think even the people who saw me change, if they don't understand exactly why I changed or what happened, they at least respect the fact that I've devoted my life to like a cause. Mm. And something which is important to me. So I think whether they be Muslims or non-Muslim, actually all my friends before I started practicing were not. I didn't have any Muslim friends. My friends were all non-Muslim. And subhanAllah, a lot of my non-Muslim friends, they actually respect what I'm doing. And that's something that I always give them credit for. And I'm still in touch with a couple of my friends from Jahiliyyah, and we're fine, you know,
alhamdulillah. Ever try and give them any da'wah?
Always. There's direct da'wah, there's indirect da'wah. I've tried both. Initially I started practicing, I tried to give like super direct da'wah, like, aren't you Muslim? Like, yeah. And I was subhanAllah, if that happened in my class, I would take that phone.
iPhone 6, please don't take it away. It's expensive.
Yeah, so, you know, then obviously when you mature, you realize that sometimes that's not always going to work.
That's not the right approach.
Yeah, sometimes you just need to take time, and they need to see who you are and be a positive influence in their life.
What's coming up for Sat Taslim? What things do you have down the pipeline? What can we expect from you in the future?
New classes with Al-Maghrib, definitely. Al-Maghrib is probably my main area of focus. There's a couple other things I can't really share right now, but okay. I have a couple other projects and a couple things on the way, inshallah ta'ala. Best thing I would say, watch out for my YouTube channel. I've started to pay a lot more attention to my YouTube channel.
Okay.
So that's one of my goals, to really build the channel. So if you're watching, if you haven't subscribed yet, go subscribe to my YouTube channel. Follow me on Twitter, Facebook. I'm kind of not really having it with Facebook these days.
What's up with Facebook?
There's just a lot of haters, man. A lot of, I don't know, I just feel like
do
Facebook...
Do they just appear more on Facebook? They're more active
I just, you know what I think? I think there's a lot of people who are getting exposed to my page who normally would not be exposed to it. Mm. And so you have people from all over the world and they don't understand who I am and what
I'm
about.
You're hanging out too much, maybe that's why.
I don't know what it is. But it's just, there's a lot of negativity on Facebook these. I don't know, like there's a lot of people just, I don't know.
You know who's really chilled out? Instagram. Who?
I love Instagram.
Super chill.
Instagram is awesome. Like my Instagram crowd, I love them. My Twitter crowd, I adore
MySpace.
As well. MySpace, yes, definitely. Go check me out.
Who's on MySpace?
Go check me out on MySpace.
Black Planet. Anybody? No?
Never heard of Black
no?
Planet.
No, okay. Though. It was a thing at one time. It was pretty popping. Yeah. Okay, so Al Maghrib. Will we ever see you settle down and become an imam anywhere? That's what I want to know. These Al Maghrib shuyukh, mashallah, they like to travel, they like to teach. But it's a lot different being like an imam, like a community leader, like embedded within one city, not being able to travel. Is that something you would ever take on down the line?
Allah Adam. It's possible in the future. I don't see myself doing it in the immediate future, but it's very possible. I think eventually I'd need to settle down. I mean, this traveling is already, it's getting to me.
Yeah.
So I don't know how long I'll be traveling
Maybe
as much
when
as
they
I...
take your passport, then you'll have no choice.
Yeah.
a lot
that happens. And I always tell people, listen, the fact that Al Maghrib can send his instructors out, like, take advantage of it.
Yeah.
Because you don't know how long it's going to happen. I know, I don't want to say particular instructors, but, you know, not a lot, all the instructors are going to be teaching forever.
Yeah.
So when a class comes to your city, man, take it. I know for myself, I'm not going to be doing this forever. I'm not going to be traveling forever. Eventually, I'm going to have to settle down, be in my city, and just giving da'wah in my city. And
there's a lot of imams and a lot of shuyukh even that I look at now and I'm like, subhanAllah, like a couple years ago they were very active traveling and now they're just like, you know, I'd rather just stay locally.
Exactly.
So, could happen to you, you never know.
It could. So I mean, definitely it's going to have to happen at some point. I'm going to have to settle down.
So inshallah, we hope you have a long career. Maybe these planes that travel super duper fast. They get to like from London to New York in like 20 minutes, so maybe you won't have jet lag anymore.
You know, I get the craziest jet lag. There's, on, Bucky.
Yeah.
He has this thing, I don't know how it happened to him. He claims that he does not get jet lagged.
There's people like that.
I wish I had that.
You know who else doesn't get jet lagged? From what I recall, what I remember, Sheikh Yahya Ibrahim. He used to tell me a trick, I think, from what I remember. He used to tell me that it's like you have to sleep at the time zone where you're going to.
I've tried everything.
No, there's a technique. If you sleep and you eat at a certain time, then your body thinks it's at where it's going. So you can actually manipulate yourself into staying awake. It never worked for me ever. Yeah, I get horrible jet lag.
Nothing works.
I need to go to like places like Australia like a day and a half early. Malaysia, you've been to Malaysia.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
If you need I go to Malaysia, 2 days early.
Definitely, because I can't function.
Yeah.
Even the UK, which is five hour difference, I have problems teaching.
What about West Coast, Cali, and these places?
Yeah, that's 3 hours, not too bad. Mm. But the thing is, you gain 3 hours when you go to Cali, so that's good.
And Cali's so beautiful. It doesn't matter.
Cali's nice. Yeah. It's a cool place to be.
Alhamdulillah. Well, JazakAllah khair
for joining us for
this first ever hangout. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Inshallah, you'll see more from us. Make sure you stay tuned and follow all the programs here on Sakina TV. Inshallah, you'll see more of us coming very soon. JazakAllah khair for watching. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. كن سعيدا كن فريدا عش بفخر في الحياة لا تبالي فالمعالي